Lord, I thank you for the blessings of this day. Amen.
Amen.
Deacon Thomas asked me, what did I want said about me? And I said, nothing. But I will say this. I am the son of Etheline Hardy Tucker. That is the highest and most important thing to me, because of what she trained me, how she trained, and how she brought me up. Today is August 17, 2014. Greetings to each of you. It's a day we have never seen before. I have come to believe that every day is a good day. Despite what is going on within our individual lives or in the world, every day is a good day. It is a good day because God has made it possible for each of us to be here. I know you've heard the news. I wish Robin Williams had appreciated the value of every day before he took his own life. He was a Christian on paper, but it appears that he tried to fight his demons alone. We need an everlasting arm to lean on.
Amen.
And in our Christian faith, it is Jesus. I wished he had understood the value of every day. I give respect to the shepherd and leader of this flock, Pastor Darrell Armstrong. We all look forward to his safe return. Out of the many clergy that Pastor Armstrong could have selected to stand here today, I consider it an honor to have been chosen to share a message of the good news, a message of hope and encouragement based on the Word of God with each of you. Sometimes I think Pastor Armstrong has an S written on his chest, like the fictional character Superman. He is a 21st century lettered man of God. He makes good use of today's technology, from his text messaging to the on-screen displays and recordings of sermons and church events and radio and web broadcasts. As pastor of a church this size and with its reputation, he has many daily and weekly real-life complexities to deal with. He must be ready to make continuous transitions, from meetings to counseling, from weddings to funerals, from visiting the sick to visiting those in prison. He has to prepare sermons, study for his doctor's degree, and he keeps a scheduled calendar of events beyond this church. On top of all of this, he has a wife to love and children to raise. I believe what fuels and drives his enormous energy is not kryptonite, but rather, I believe it is the inward dwelling of the Holy Spirit within him. May God continue to bless him and his family in his awesome responsibilities. Hear now the reading of God's word, as it is found in the book of Galatians, the 6th chapter, verse 1 through 11. Galatians 6th chapter, verses 1 through 11. There is a slight variation in this reading for clarity to the young and others. Brothers and sisters, if a man or woman is overtaken in any trespass or fault, you who are spiritual should restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted by the same temptations. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the laws of Christ. For if anyone thinks themselves to be something when they are nothing, deceives or fools themselves. But let each one of us examine our own work of service and be happy in our own accomplishments and not become envious of others' accomplishments. For each of us has our own abilities and must bear our own load. Let him or her who is taught in the word share in all the things taught to you. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever we sow, that we shall we reap. For he or she who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But any of us who sows to the Spirit reaps everlasting life. And let us not grow weary. Let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we will reap if we do not faint. Therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good. Let us do good to all, but especially to those of the household of faith. See with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. You may be seated. Let me lift up that 11th verse. See with what large letters I have written to you in my own hand. In this verse, Paul asked us to see what large letters he has written to us in his own hand. The topic, a letter to the churches of Trenton and vicinity. You and I have had conversations with friends, families, and others, and the conversation was interrupted by the person asking us, "Do you see what I'm saying? Do you get it?" Sometimes the expression on our face let the person know we didn't get the meaning of what was being told to us. This question is asked in all age groups. Do you see what I am saying? Do you see what I am saying? These terms are often expressed to young people who hear what is being said but may not see or clearly understand what is being said. Paul is asking Christians then and now not just to look at the large letters he wrote, but to see, to understand, to comprehend, to act on these letters. His letters expound a deep spiritual understanding of the Christian faith. They are wide-reaching into our human predicaments, our issues, our shortcomings. These letters are extensive, comprehensive, and exhaustive letters of epistles of which Jesus is the central personality. Jesus is the cause and the effect within these letters. A cause is why something happens. A cause is why something happens. An effect is what happens. An effect is what happens. Paul is credited with writing 13 such letters. They are Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. Let us peruse some history of the importance of letters, followed by a letter to our churches today. Letters have many purposes and types. The general purpose of the letter is to present information. For centuries, letters have been the primary way to dispense information. Today, we have the web and electronic instant mail, known as the email, and gives us global access to information. In our homes, we are bombarded by all types of letters. Some letters are personal. Some letters are junk mail. Some are bills and solicitation. Some letters can bring sad or bad news, like a Dear John letter. Some letters are sacred and we will hold on to them and cherish them forever. There are individuals in history who have been inspired by God to write a letter. What happened to these individuals as a result is is it didn't stop or change their lives because they wrote these letters. There is St. Augustine and his writings about the city of God. There are two Christian Martin Luthers who were compelled by their faith to write letters, and those letters impacted the world. One is a German theologian named Martin Luther. He wrote letters about the dissatisfaction with the Catholic Church. He tacked his letter onto the church door in Wittenberg, and it led to the breakup of the Catholic Church. This ushered in the Protestant Reformation and the establishment of Protestant churches. And we have the civil rights leader, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who wrote a letter to clergy while in Birmingham jail on tattered pieces of paper. He explained to the clergy why he and his organizations could no longer just wait for justice, that America must live up to what they put on paper in their letters and constitution, that justice must roll down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. Now, what would a letter to the churches in Trenton and vicinity read like? What would a letter to the churches in Trenton and vicinity read like? We have a new mayor of this city, Mr. Jackson. This is a small city with a great history dating back to George Washington. Many of us feel the changes happening within this city with this new administration. Our churches need to help keep the atmosphere positive. In recent years, evil seems to have taken over the streets of Trenton as we experience almost daily killings. I don't think God is pleased with his churches who seem to sack in silence while mothers cry and bury their child. I propose the churches come together in Trenton and vicinity, come together in the spirit of unity, especially in the upcoming season of Christmas. Let us join hands with churches in every ward of the city to sing the praises of Christmas carols in the streets and to give candy and messages of hope to the children and people of the city of Trenton. We need that to help turn this city around, to show it as a showcase for the nation. I propose we add a narrative of the celebration during Black History Month, that we emphasize Black business, professionals, and community organizations with all of our churches, compiling a list that we can share with the community and serve as an example that you don't have to steal, sell drugs to have a decent income. I propose we place an emphasis on making history in our own family to inspire and teach our youth in each home to make personal history in the family, to become the first or second to graduate from college or a trade school, to buy a home, start a business, become a civic or church leader. Let us emphasize making positive history in our own family. I propose we invite every gang member and those returning to this area from prison to come to our churches for dinner and dialogues. I propose we round up every high school dropout and purposely encourage them to return to school. I propose our churches develop a work orientation program for jobs that would include how to dress and to behave on the job, and to work with corporations to send back to us any person we train so we can deal with the issues rather than fire them first. It's not jobs alone we need for the young. Inner city young people, they must be taught how to dress and how to behave on the job. I was telling Deegan in the office about a young lady. She's 22 years old. She mother was dealing with drugs, And she has a child, and she decided she wanted to try to straighten her life out now. She entered a hairdressing school. And after a couple of weeks, and she got familiar with the place, she started smoking weed during her lunch hour. And they talked to her about it, and she says, the lunch hour is mine, and I could do what I want. She truly believed that. That's the kind of training that I'm talking about we need in this inner city. It's just not jobs alone. It's training. I propose our Bike for One America program that teaches the value of civic learning and good citizenship and unifying efforts with other organizations. I propose we bring our young mothers to our senior centers where they can learn some first-hand experience about raising and care for a child, of cleaning the home, of self-respect in courtship, of girls becoming a lady and young men becoming a gentleman. Trenton is a small city, and we can do it. I believe we can do it because it is small. The world is large and complex, and sometimes there seem to be no sacred ground. But the spirit of Christmas is celebrated in tents in faraway places, and in huts and castles, in barrack prisons and unlitted trees, in places, in high places. The language of Christmas is universal. A peace on earth and goodwill to all mankind. Let us sing peace and goodwill in the streets of Trenton this season. As I close, I ask you what Paul asked us as Christians. Do you see? Do you see the large letters? Do you understand the large letters? The proposals that I have given to you is what I see in his letters. Hear now the reading of God's word again. Brothers and sisters, if a man or woman is overtaken in any trespass or fault, you who are spiritual should restore such a person to a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself lest you also be tempted by the same temptations. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the laws of Christ. For if anyone thinks themselves to be something when they are nothing, whenever they think there's something, there's nothing, you defeat yourself. But let each one of us examine our own work and service and be happy in our own accomplishments and not become envious of other accomplishments. For in each of us, we have our abilities and must bear our own load. Let him or her who is taught the word share in all the good things taught to us. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. God is not mocked. What we sow, that is what we will reap. For he or she who sows to the flesh will reap of the flesh. And he who sows of the spirit shall have everlasting life. So let us grow. Let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season, we will reap if we faint not. As ye therefore have the opportunity, do good. Do good to all. Do good to all. Do good to Joni out there in the street. Do good, do good to eat Alicia. Do good to all. But especially to those of a household of faith. God bless you. The doors of the church are open. You may come by letter. You may come as a candidate for baptism. You may come on your Christian experience. The language is all inclusive. Whosoever will, let him or her come. Black, white, rich, poor, young or old, all right, come.
Lord, keep me day by day.